Well, you better hurry because he'll probably go off sometime today. I don't know when they change that out. But I have a few little questions for you, a little trivia questions. Now, if you don't get the answer to the question, that's all right, you know, because you got to be a quick thinker to get these. But if once we tell you the answer, if you look a little confused, we got a problem, Houston, okay? The first question is, what kind of man was Boaz before he married Ruth? Anybody speak? Ruthless. What do they call pastors in Germany? 5 seconds. German shepherds. Who was the greatest financier in the Bible? Well, that would be Noah. He was floating his stock while everyone else was in liquidation. Who was the greatest female financier in the Bible? Pharaoh's daughter. She went down to the bank of the Nile and drew out a little profit. Who was the greatest comedian in the Bible? I'm not there. Samson. He brought the house down. You know, push those pillars up. What excuse did Adam give to his children as to why he no longer lived in Eden? Your mother ate us out of house and home. Which servant of God was the most flagrant lawbreaker in the Bible? Of course, you know that to be Moses. He broke all 10 commandments at one time. And which area of Palestine was especially wealthy? That would be the area around the Jordan because the banks were always overflowing. Who's the greatest babysitter mentioned in the Bible? King David. He rocked Goliath to a very deep sleep. This one you probably heard before. Which Bible character had no parents? That's an easy one. Joshua, the son of Nun. And why didn't they play cards on the ark? Because Noah was standing on the deck. And one more, did you know that it's a sin for a woman to make coffee? That's right, it says it right there in the Bible. It says, he brews, not she brews. Now that's twice... 2 weeks in a row we've done something like that. That doesn't mean we have to keep doing it now. Just because we start a tradition doesn't mean it's law, okay? We know a lot about traditions. We're glad you're here today. We have several visitors. Thank you for being here. Holly's husband, Scotty. Holly are here. And Scotty's dad, Gary Sudbury, and his wife are here. Gary prefers to be called Dog. Much like I prefer to be called the Flash, much to the chagrin of my wife who thinks it insinuates something that it doesn't, I'm just simply named after the comic book character, the Flash, because of my lightning speed when I was young. I never have really liked my first name a lot anyway. When you're named Gordon, you get called a lot of things like Gordy, Gordhead, and all kinds of things like that. But we're glad you're here. It's been a sad week for many of us. Miss Eva Cunningham, you know, was buried, I believe, on Tuesday. She was just a wonderful, wonderful lady. She'll be greatly missed. My good friend Ted Frisbee's funeral was on Wednesday night also. Yesterday we went down to North Alabama, went four-wheeling up in the mountains, and we all had a... Sudbury's were with us, and we all ate a Mr. Good bar. That was Ted Frisbee's favorite candy bar. It's been rumored that he even actually traded grades for good bars, but I don't think surely he would do that. But we all ate a Mr. Good bar in his memory. I did something really crazy this morning. I was up late last night until about, well, it was well after midnight, Right? You were asleep. You don't know. Working on my sermon, and I had all list of about 20 scriptures and had everything down, everything noted, and then about, actually at 8:37 this morning, I changed my mind. I'm going a different direction. It is football season, you know, and Coffee County has won their district, right? That's all we'll say about that. But what would you do? What would you do if you were a high school football player and your coach, you're in the game, and your coach sent in a play that called for you to take the ball and run to your opponent's goal line? Now, I know that's happened by mistake before, but not on purpose. I'm talking about you do it on purpose, knowing full well what it means, you know, 2 points, safety for the other team. Well, that actually happened several years ago. With about 7 seconds left in the game, Tishomingo High School, that's a school down in northeastern Mississippi, was leading Faulkner High School 16-14 by 2 points. At stake was a berth in the state playoffs in Mississippi that year, in the 1A playoffs. Tishomingo had the ball on Faulkner's 40-yard line, and all they had to do was run out the clock on the next play, and they would win the game by 2 points, 16-14. Coach David Hebert, who at that time had Lou Gehrig's disease and was coaching from a seat in the back of a pickup truck, sent in a play to his son, who just happened to be the quarterback. The play called for a handoff to the tailback, who would run as fast as he could for the other team's goal line. As soon as the quarterback told him what they were going to do, one of the players in the huddle looked up and said, "Your daddy must be crazy. He's nuts." So they argued a while in the huddle, got a delay of game penalty, 5 yards. And finally, the team lined up to do what the coach said. The ball was handed off to the tailback, and he ran 55 yards in the wrong direction. He laid down in the opponent's end zone and waited for the clock to run out, with everyone in the stadium in shock. Everyone elated on Faulkner's side anyway. A 2-point safety for Faulkner. The score was tied. Clock runs out. Was the coach crazy? Yeah, like a fox. You see, in order for his team to reach the playoffs, because of the point system and the number of wins and losses, Tishomingo had to beat Faulkner by at least 4 points. And after thinking about the chances of a field goal from the 40-yard line, which would be, what, 57 yards, or going 40 yards on one play, he decided that overtime was his best chance. So the strategy appeared to be totally insane. Had the tailback been chased down and tackled, Faulkner would have suffered a 2-point loss, but would have gone to the playoffs rather than Tishomingo. But not one of its players gave chase to the ball carrier. They just go. What was the result? Tishomingo won in overtime, 22-16. Team went to the playoffs. Sounds a little bit like the cross to me. God became a man, was pushed around on this earth by his enemies and by people who were supposed to love him. He was executed as a criminal ordered to be executed by Pilate. And it looked like Satan wins. I mean, Jesus is dead. His disciples got the heck out and scattered. God had lost the game. They blew it like Tishomingo apparently had blown it. Or had he? Because 3 days later, Jesus was back alive again. from the dead. And over a period of about 40 days, he showed himself to be alive to hundreds of people. Paul said in the Corinthians, to 120 on one occasion, 500 on one occasion. And then a little over a week and a half later, about 51 days, Peter gets up on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts chapter 2, and said it's kind of like that coach's strategy. It's all part of the plan. It's part of a divine strategy. And Peter said in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, this man, Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, Ken's asleep. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. Wasn't you, really. It's all part of God's plan. Peter continued, and he cited numerous Old Testament passages and predictions which had been fulfilled by the resurrection. And now those Old Testament passages became clearer than they ever had before to some people. And finally, Peter said in verse 36, that same passage, Acts 2 and verse 36, he says, God has made this Jesus, who seemed to be defeated, dead, it's over, God has made this Jesus, who's alive now, this Jesus whom you crucified, he's made him the Lord, and he's made him the Christ, which in English, as you know, means the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one. And that's it. A game plan that looked to all the world like nothing but craziness. A plan which still confounds us today sometime. In our church huddles. But the Son, Jesus, executed his Father's call to perfection, just like the Son did in the football game. He gave his life on the cross to pay for my sin and yours and for the entire human race. And that doesn't make any sense. That's insane when you think about it. And actually, 1 Corinthians 1, Paul, verse 18, Paul says that very thing. You know, there were lots of smart people in Greece in the first century. Smart people. Lots of philosophers, lots of thinkers, deep thinkers. And a lot of those thought that this game plan about the cross, of a man being born of a virgin and being killed and then being alive again and paying for the sin of humanity, that's foolishness. And Paul says that very thing in his letter to 1 Corinthians. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And 2,000 years later, we still say that foolishness, what was called foolishness, is the wisdom and the power of God that makes it possible for us to have peace and contentment today, and not only that, but to live eternally with the God of the universe. If you want that, let somebody know while together we stand and sing.